Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm ready to see what mythical they randomly drop in.
Snyder.
And now, coming to you live from atop the Lavender Town Radio Tower, it's the one, the only, Pucko Podcast!
It's Pucko!
Pucko!
It's Pucko!
Pucko!
Pokemon Underground Champions League, oh yeah.
Pucko!
Grab your friends, it's that time again. Listen to the show with the phone
never ends.
It's Pucko!
Pucko!
Oh yeah.
Pucko!
It's your host,
Drink That!
And your co-host,
Whatever
you have, Pucko!
Pucko!
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah!
Pucko!
Pucko.
And welcome to the 372nd episode of the Pucko Podcast, take two. I am your host, Trainer Thatch, here today with my spectacular set of co-hosts, the one, the only, the man who spells his name with a Z instead of an S now, Scrawn.
It's edgier that way.
And then, of course, we've got the man who says nothing but yeet. We have Seth Vilo joining the fight.
Yeet.
Welcome to the Puckle Podcast. Puckle, of course, standing for the Pokemon Underground Champions League. I just realized that I always say Puckle, of course, standing for like it's just an obvious acronym. Like, of course, Puckle stands for this.
Not the people you did the Civil Liberties. Of course, it's Pokemon Underground Champions League.
I have to imagine the People's Union of Civil Liberties is legitimately upset at me, because if you search Puckle on Google, like if you Google Puckle, you will get me in the search results before them. And I can't believe that they would really be happy about that.
I thought it stood for people undergoing chronic Liberia.
Chronic country. Yep.
But that is, of course, welcome to the show. We talk everything Pokemon, from the video game to the trading card game to sometimes Pokemon Conquest. I've used that one before, though.
You've used it a lot before.
I have, but Pokemon Conquest is good.
It's a good game. Yeah, it's a good game.
It's a solid game. I can't be mad at Pokemon Conquest existing, right? Like, it's going to be really cool. But I welcome those of you who are new, and I welcome back those of you who are old. We've got a nice show lined up for you today. But before we begin, I wanted to open up with a little bit of chit-chat. I usually ask you guys what's going on, but we've talked a little bit before the show. And Scrawn, you told me about this really interesting thing about how you're going to a competitive Pokemon Go tournament, or you were before it snowed.
Yeah, so they canceled our recent one and moved it back 2 weeks. But a neat thing that the website Sylph, right?
Yeah, Sylph Road,
like the Nest Tracker and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Well, like I signed up for an account through them in order to do this and such. But they're having a competitive Pokemon Go tournament, and they're basing it around types of Pokemon you can find in the game, and they vary the league depending on the month. So they're starting with the Great League. And you can only use fighting, steel, rock, and ground types, and it's called the Boulder Cup. So you bring a team of six, and you bring three to a best 2 out of 3 game. And the more matches you win in your local tournament, the more, you know, ranking you can get on the Sylph leaderboards. And I think it's a cool idea, because you get a special badge on the website for participating and stuff. I think, you know, it's probably the closest to an actual competitive scene that Pokemon Go will ever really see.
Yeah, I don't think it can be competitive. I just think that tapping on the screen and choosing your charge move just can't be competitive.
Okay, so after delving into, like, the specifics of it, I think there's a bit more, obviously not as much as, like, main game Pokemon by any extent, but there is a lot of, like, preparation work that's definitely very important. There's strategy in what you bring in your games, because sort of like our UUTC, you can see the roster of your opponent. So you need to be able to predict what they're going to bring, and you need to be able to, you know, boost your Pokemon with the right charge moves, etc. It's a lot of prep work, man. And some Pokemon are just really, really overpowered in this specific format. Like, I've dumped over 300,000 Stardust just into my Medicham and Skarmory.
Man, I don't know if I could handle that. Also, Steel is definitely the way to go. Like, I saw that. I actually saw this on the Sylph Road. Like, after you were talking about it, I went and looked into it. Mm-hmm. And I saw that they were just doing ground, rock, and steel typing. And somebody immediately broke it, like, on Reddit. Like, they just immediately broke the meta. So the guy goes, why would I even bring a rock type? Rock is weak to literally both of those types.
You can't bring rock types, really. Like, I think some people considered, like, bringing, like, hey, I can bring Kabutops because it has a fast, you know, charge move. It can hit some stuff, but it's not even worth it then. But, like, the ideal team, since it's not, quote-unquote, unique Pokemon, is, like, two Medichams, two Skarmories, and two Whiscash.
Yeah, I can believe
that. Because they're just that good. And then you just bring whatever, an extra of whatever is best against your opponent's team.
Mm-hmm. I would believe that. Yep.
I think it can see, you know, some revision, but I like how it's starting, I guess. It could have started a lot worse.
I think it'd be something cool to tie into actual Pokemon events. I don't know, because I wish that Pokemon, like, the company actually had a little bit more investment in terms of the community of Pokemon Go. I know that, like, they do Community Day, but that's not really them doing anything other than, like, hey, let's drop some digital fingerprints into the game. I would really like to see them be like, hey, we can do battles here or there. I understand they're very community driven at this point, which is cool. And it's definitely just the Sylph Road. It's everybody just on the Sylph Road going and doing all these Pokemon Go things. Maybe some Facebook pages, but most Facebook pages are just based off the Sylph Road. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I would like to see Pokemon get into it and be like, hey, at this tournament, we're also going to be doing a Pokemon Go thing on top of that. Or maybe make that like a side event at like a regional or something. I'd like to see that finally hit the mainstream before I would accept it as something that's popular. Well, it's going to be popular, but I would say mainstream, quote unquote, in the Pokemon community.
Yeah.
So those are just my two cents. Yeah, I mean, it would be really cool to like do it alongside like a VGC tournament or something where you can play like real Z Pokemon.
Yeah, it's just, I don't think a lot of, you know, I hate to say normal people would look on like the Pokemon Event Finder for that unless they know. Because
oh, absolutely.
Pokemon Go Hub, Sylph Road, and like bazillions of Discords are dedicated to just Pokemon Go, and half the people in there don't even know what to expect out of the rest of Gen 4 Pokemon. So like there's a huge gap of like knowledge and like disconnect from the normal Pokemon community. And while I love seeing other people get involved, it's kind of like, hey, there's so much more you could be doing. And I try to explain it whenever I can. Like, here are some cool upcoming Pokemon and, you know, Pokemon Go, like Hydreigon or Garchomp or something like that. And they're like, wow, those are so cool. How do you know they're coming out? And I'm like, I searched for them.
But Niantic hasn't even designed them yet.
Yeah, no, I don't know. It's going to be weird. The Pokemon Go scene is definitely its own beast, and it can stay that way.
I want to see Pokemon Go connectivity between all of the future games.
I think we're going to get that in a super roundabout way. It's going to be almost as bad as getting your Gen 3 Pokemon all the way to Gen 7. It's going to be like, okay, so if you have Pokemon Let's Go, you can connect your Pokemon Go to Pokemon Let's Go, and then Pokemon Let's Go lets you Poketransport of them into the Pokemon Bank, and then for Pokemon Bank, they can go to the Gen 8 games. So easy, right?
So easy.
And it's only Kanto Pokemon.
Only need to purchase $420 worth of hardware.
Right.
It's great because, yeah, and then it's only Kanto Pokemon for now. But wait for Let's Go Girafarig, and we're going to get sweet Pokemon Go connectivity with Gen 2. Yeah.
Woo.
Yeah.
Let's Go Girafarig.
Children screaming in the background. Yeah.
I imagine it's like the one guy from Avatar The Last Airbender just like freaking out and foaming at the mouth.
Oh, no. Sokka? Or
no, it's not Sokka. There's just like
a background
random
guy.
Yeah, random background guy.
I know the scene you're talking about.
Well, they bring him back a ton. So I guess that's it. We'll wrap that up there, and we're going to kick it on over because we haven't talked about the news for 2 weeks now because I was a dummy bear last week. So we are going to go ahead and kick it on over to the news.
Radio Tower, this just in.
And welcome to the news. The news has a bunch of stuff in it because it's been 2 weeks since Thatch was able to do it because I was a dummy bear last week. I can't stress that enough. I was so stupid last week. But in the news, there's a few things. One, if you live in China and you somehow listen to this podcast, Pokemon Quest is available for you to download. Cool. Yep. That's the game that everybody was just like, man, I can't wait to get my hands on Pokemon Quest. Granted, I will say the one good thing that came out of Pokemon Quest are the plushes that exist for it. I don't know if you guys have seen
them.
That's
true.
Yes.
That's true. Those are adorable.
Those are pretty cute.
And they stack.
Yes.
Because they like ride on each other and stuff.
Yeah, because they're just squares. It's Minecraft Pokemon. Like,
you thought putting Z in front of your name was edgy? How about angles on all of the Pokemon?
Too edgy.
Also, if you're playing Pokemon Go, like a lot of people nowadays, you can go get Totodile yesterday, or 2 days ago by the time you're listening to this, for Community Day.
Oh, yeah, right. I was like, oh, that Thatch, that's today.
That is today, but that's 2 days from the episode being released.
I'm not very smart.
And then tag team for Pokemon, the trading card, is coming out. That's like in a month, right? And they've just been dropping set after set.
Beginning of February, pre-releases start, I think, on the 20th of this month, so next weekend or so.
So excited.
I know. We're like in the slow Pokemon news cycle right now because, I mean, wait till February.
Yeah.
In February, we're going to be like, man, I can't wait to speculate about Pokemon Thatch and Scrawn version. It's going to be so much fun. I mean, it's always going to be Thatch and Scrawn version. It's fine. That's what it's going to be in my heart. And so that, I think that means we have to get different versions, Scrawn.
Oh.
So we should coordinate.
Do I get the cooler regionals or the cooler exclusives?
So you get whatever Catherine chooses, probably.
Oh, okay. I gotcha. I'll trust her judgment.
Yeah, I always get the chef because she always chooses. And then I get the other one so that she can complete the Pokedex. Because she'll be super into it for like a month trying to complete the Pokedex and everything. I'm just waiting. I can't wait to have to wait for another 3 months after that game comes out for bank compatibility. That's going to be my favorite part.
That'll be great.
Yeah.
Waiting for the unannounced date that Pokemon Bank is compatible with these new games.
Please understand, though.
Please understand. Also, for those of you who follow the VGC scene, we have finally switched over to the Moon series of VGC 2019 because they realized that the Ultra series rules, which would be the typical rules for the season, were too broken, and they didn't want to get that a whole year to develop. So, for those of you unaware, right now VGC is entering the Moon series, which before in the Sun series, you weren't allowed Megas, you weren't allowed Z-Crystals. However, now you are allowed Z-Crystals. That's pretty much the only difference. You're allowed Z-Crystals. And two Pokemon, what do they call these? I think they call them restricted Pokemon. I'm thinking about the name.
Yeah,
I think they call them restricted Pokemon or something like that. You're allowed two of Mewtwo, Lugia, Ho-Oh, Kyogre, Groudon, Rayquaza.
Box legendaries.
Yeah, box art legendaries plus Mewtwo, I think, is the answer.
Yeah.
Oh, also Cosmog. Only Cosmog. I think somebody actually top cut with like a Cosmog or a Cosmoem, though, at one of these things.
That sounds so cool.
It sounds really weird, but it can definitely happen.
Yeah.
Also, Dragon Ascent is banned as well, obviously, because no Mega Rayray for you.
As well as Ultra Necrozium Z, but who's going to use that?
Not this round, anyway. I mean, it's not bad. Dude, Ultra Necrozma's broken.
Oh, yeah.
Man.
That. Yeah.
Like, we thought that Mega Rayray was bad. Ultra Necrozma, like, the only bad thing about Ultra Necrozma is it takes, like, two turns to, like, get it set up.
And you can't Z move on the turn you transform. That's kind of a bummer, too.
That's the only bummer, though.
Yeah.
It's the only bummer.
I traded my golden Ultra Necrozma to some loser.
Yeah, that weirdo.
It was Seth.
It was me. Immediately swapped it out of my deck.
Oh, God. You guys are hilarious.
I named it Blanche because it's a golden girl.
Oh, my God. I love it.
Moving on. Heatran is now the level 5 raid boss in Pokemon Go.
It has been for like two.
Yeah, it has been, and it's going to be leaving on the 15th.
Yeah.
Just letting you know.
So it will be until Tuesday.
So get that. Also in Pokemon Go, they're doing something where they're doing a limited research day where in a 3-hour window, you will find research to obtain encounters for Feebas.
Yep. It's the reveal of Shiny Feebas, too.
Yeah, Shiny Feebas will be there as well. It runs January 19th in Europe and America and January 20th in Asia Pacific. Just look at your clocks and it's pretty much the same as normal times for everything Pokemon Go-wise. It's next weekend. It's next weekend. So just go get your Shiny Feebas if you want one of those. Also, a new Pokemon Battle Competition in Ultra Sun, Ultra Moon was announced. It's not an international championship or something like that. It is now called the Simple Symphony. This is a single battle competition using special rules where only Pokemon of a single type can be used, excluding mythical Pokemon and various legendary Pokemon. Megastones can also not be used.
Cool.
Online monotype. Yay!
But it's not like true monotype where it's like you make a monotype team, like you make a team of monotypes.
That's really cool.
That's actually a really interesting meta.
Oh, okay. Of a single type, yeah.
Yeah,
okay.
This runs from January 24th to January 25th. Yeah, the Pokemon they have as like the, what do I want to say, the poster children of this are Zoroark, Excelgor, Machamp, and Alakazam right now. So like that's the kind of the idea. Like you could have all of those on a team.
Oh, I misread that. Okay, yeah, that makes...
Registration starts on the 17th and goes to the 24th, and you can run the battles from the 25th to the 27th. I might join in on that just so I can stream it. That sounds like a fun format. And I'm sure there's already some kind of meta online for it. Somebody probably already broke it and it's just like, here are the best Pokemon for it. So that's the Pokemon community for you. I don't know if there's any other news other than the UUTC here at Puckle has started. So it's going to be a blast. We haven't decided on the prize yet for the winner. Too bad because it's too late to sign up anyway, but you can get your Puckle points.
I want 5 of the Raikou theme decks from Lost Thunder.
No.
5
that nobody bought.
Dennis bought one, I think.
Oh, and, I'm sorry, Dennis.
But you can, of course, check that out if you would like. You can go ahead and go over to the... you can go ahead and check out the UTC. We're going to be posting videos on YouTube for that during the course of the tournament, and it'll be a lot of fun. Also, if you want to keep getting Puckle points, you could do so in various ways. Puckle points will help you get into the Puckle tournament at the end of the year, where we're going to have a much bigger prize. Probably something like, I don't know, maybe a Nintendo Switch? I don't know.
Whoa! Hype! Oh
it's
my
amazing.
God!
Yeah.
Honestly, though, like, that's not too down. I don't know. That's a good prize. And that's
I think that's like a solid prize for like the amount of work and time you have to invest to get there. Like, because you have to end up joining like 4 tournaments, essentially. You have to end up then getting points from those tournaments, and you have to probably go to almost all of the battle clinics.
But that's still really awesome. Like,
yeah.
I love this new tournament thing that we're doing. It's really cool.
Yeah, so if you want more information about that, that is going to be on our Discord server. You guys can check that out. Right now, Thatch is in the lead with 10 points, tied with like 5 other people, but I have 10 points.
It's okay. He'll get to the final round and then throw it so that it...
Not this time. There's a Switch on the line, Scrawn.
So what you're saying is you're going to buy yourself a Switch?
Yes. But I'm going to win it. I'm going to win
sense.
It.
I'm going to win a Switch so I can pawn it off to GameStop.
I just need... I'm kind of hoping there's like a Pokemon variant this year. Because we're going to get the Pokemon... Well, we just got the Let's Go Pikachu, Let's Go Eevee variant. I'm hoping there's like a true Pokemon variant this year, though.
Ooh, that's a tough one.
Because I will upgrade to that one.
Because they'd have to make like 2 different models or something.
I think that we might see a Switch revision this year. I think I've said this on the show before, but the way I see a Switch revision going isn't going to be that drastic. I think you'll see one of 2 things or both of these things. You're either going to see a better battery life in the Switch, or 2, you're just going to see a larger screen. Because if you look at the Switch now, there's just like a giant bezel on it, and they could definitely take the time to like shrink that bezel down. So I think that would be the Switch revision we'll see, because the Joy-Cons kind of limit them.
I wouldn't rule out one that has the Joy-Cons physically attached to it that you can just connect more to. I wouldn't rule that, like a 2DS.
It'd be hard to sync the Joy-Cons, because it's really hard to sync Joy-Cons without just being able to slap them on a Switch.
Right, yeah.
That's my only concern with that. But we could talk about that on our Nintendo podcast. We're never starting. So we're going to end it there, and we're going to kick things over to Puckle's Poke Quiz, where we're going to quiz your co-host on their innate Pokemon knowledge. And welcome to Puckle's Poke Quiz, where we're going to quiz your co-host on their innate Pokemon knowledge. That means you guys can't use browsers, you can't use the internet, you can only use each other. Today, we're going to have Scrawn and Seth Vilo working together as a team to earn up to 7 points. There are going to be 5 questions that they're going to try to answer, each question worth 1 point. However, one has a bonus point, and they also have a lifeline and a hint that they can use throughout the process. But if they get all the questions correct without using the hint, they get 7 points. They are racing against their fellow co-host to a race to 30, and which they will win a $20 credit to TeePublic to buy a shirt, a mug, a poster of themselves, whatever they want. This, of course, is brought to you by AnimeGravy.com, where you can go buy a bunch of cool artwork over there. They even have a Green Taurus poster. It's great. So check out Anime Gravy. They are sponsoring this segment for this trivia run. So if you want to go give them some love, go ahead and do it. Without further ado, though, we are going to jump right into these questions if you guys are ready. Brought to you by the fans of the Puckle Podcast. You can submit your own trivia over at our Discord in the trivia channel. Just drop it in there. If you've got questions that we think are good, we'll ask them to our co-host and make sure that they can't answer them. All right, if you guys are ready, I've got this question loaded up. We got a nice softball for you.
Okay.
Bring it on.
All right, our first question. What evolved Pokemon, other than the evolutions, doesn't share any typing with its base form?
Other than the evolutions, it'd be Masquerade. No, that's Bug.
Yeah, that's part Bug.
Wouldn't it be no
Mega that. Altaria? I don't think that counts though.
No.
Well,
yeah, technically correct, but does not count for the question.
right.
With its base form. Oh my gosh.
It might be a dragon. Like I want to say dragons something. But, like, what turns into a dragon? No, it can't be that.
No, I don't think anything becomes a dragon that wasn't...
Yeah.
At least part of it. Strength. Well, other than, didn't share
like
something.
Like Swablu and Trapinch and stuff like that. But yeah.
I like you said it's a softball, but here we are struggling.
I'm sorry. I thought this was a softball.
Well, I'm sorry. I'm not as smart as you.
It doesn't share anything with its base form. I'm assuming it's going to be a 3-stage thing, because that gives it 2 stages to lose everything. It's not a starter.
My mind is hard at work.
Yeah.
You have the hint.
That seems a bit premature.
I know, right? Question one, just break out the hint. Oh, no.
Okay, maybe if we're running low on time.
Yeah.
You are running low on time. But...
Okay, give it.
Go
give
for it.
The hint.
This is a 2-stage, so it's a basic then a stage one.
Oh, that's... Oh. Oh, man.
Oh, dear.
And it's a particular form of a Pokemon.
Okay.
Huh.
Okay. Like a form. So like...
An evolution that's a form.
Like an Alolan form or something.
Oh! Marowak!
Right. Alolan Marowak. Yep.
Alolan Marowak is correct. That gives you guys 1 point today. Apparently that was not the softball. Maybe this next one will be.
Well, we try.
Awesome.
So this next one is, what is the only non-grass type Pokemon to evolve by using a Sunstone?
Crud.
Okay, so originally it was only Sunkern and the other.
Blossom, and, I think.
Sunkern and Oddish, no, Gloom. So yeah, they didn't introduce another Sunstone Pokemon until... Gen 5, which you have Lilligant and Whimsicott, and then Gen 6, they might have added another.
I get this feeling it's going to be a fire type, but I don't know.
Yeah.
Here I am thinking I'm smart, but here I am being stupid. Wow, we're the best, Scrawn.
We are the best.
Is Yeet an acceptable answer?
I will accept the answer, but it may not be
no,
correct.
It's not correct.
Oh, man.
It is a Gen 6 Pokemon.
Gen 6 Pokemon. Too bad it's my
Kalos.
Worst.
Kalos. Okay. There's only like 80 to pick from, so...
69.
That was close.
69.
What's something sunny in Kalos? Is it... No, it's not Florges. No.
This Pokemon kind of like has a thing that it can put out kind of like a solar panel.
Is it...
Oh, Heliolisk.
Heliolisk is correct. That was a free hint, but
we got 2 hints for 1, Seth. Woo! That's a new record.
I feel like Aladdin.
2 for 2. All right. So this next one, all the questions today are they are answerable with just Pokemon. All the answers are Pokemon. This one I found was really interesting, and I think this one's a little bit tough. I will not help you with this one.
Oh.
As it turns out, the ground type move Spikes can only be learned by one ground type Pokemon. And I want to know what ground type Pokemon can actually learn Spikes.
Huh.
What?
Yeah, because you always see it on stuff like Roserade or Froslass.
Yeah.
You never see it on a ground type. Something at the back of my head says Stunfisk.
No, that's just Stealth Rock.
Okay.
Oof. There's no grass ground type. I was thinking Cacturne, but that's not ground. It's just immune to deserts.
I will say this Pokemon is not part grass type.
Yeah. Okay. That is helpful. Oof. Wow.
Why does Sandslash come to mind? Because it has spikes on its back?
Yeah, probably. I think that's another one that's just Stealth Rock and Rapid Spin. That's what's tying the hazards to it.
Huh.
Only one ground type spiker.
Hmm.
Like I said a minute ago, I thought I was so smart, but apparently no. I know it's not OU, because the only spikers in OU are Ferrothorn and Greninja, apparently.
I think it was OU for a while.
It was OU for a while?
Let me double check before I say anything. It was definitely UU at one point. I think it was OU for like a little bit.
In that case, wouldn't it be like Gastrodon or something?
Nope, that doesn't learn any hazards.
Okay.
I guess it's always UU banlist.
UUBL?
Yeah. Check that out. I'm going to need an answer, though.
Yeah. Oh my word.
Give it your best bet, Seth. It's your inaugural episode. Ugh. All the pressure's on you.
I know. Looks like I'm not getting that TeePublic credit. Thanks. No. Dang it.
That sweet, sweet credit.
If it's UUBL, that definitely rules out garbage like Sandslash, though. So at least they're there.
Donphan?
No, that's just maybe. Rocks and spinning.
You know all this stuff.
It's a bunny.
But I don't know the right answer.
What?
What
did you say?
It might be a bunny.
Oh, got it.
What?
Diggersby. Diggersby.
That Diggersby dough is correct.
Big Chungus.
Wow, we got three hints for one this time.
I'm being too nice to you guys. I can't believe I didn't think you're gonna struggle this hard.
I'm having such a hard time. It is good and it's usable in OU. What is wrong with me?
It is the only ground type Pokemon though that can learn spikes. It's so weird.
That is weird.
And no one uses it for that, though. They all use it for huge power.
This next question has very little to do with Pokemon, but Pokemon are the answer.
Ah.
This one has your bonus type, or bonus point. There are two Pokemon that you can list here. You'll get 1 point for each. So, what two Pokeball Pokemon have been in every version of Super Smash Bros.? There are two Pokemon that have always been available for those Pokemon to come out of the Pokeballs.
I want to say Electrode is one. Because that's always available, pretty much.
Uh-huh. When did the first one come out?
Probably like Electrode and Mew.
That sounds...
Because I'm just thinking back, because I know Electrode was in the original, at least.
Yeah.
Because you, like, throw it and stuff.
Mm-hmm. It wouldn't be Pikachu or anything like that, because that's, you know, a fighter. Yeah.
That is true.
Thank you. Thank you, God.
Thank you.
Voice from above. I'm not very versed in the world of Super Smash, so I trust you on Electrode.
I can name stuff I recognize. Goldeen, maybe? I think Goldeen was a more recent addition, because they removed... If so, they might have removed Magikarp or something. I know Electrode. Mew is
always need your answers.
That, like, super rare encounter. Okay, let's just go Mew and Electrode.
Sounds good to me.
That's fine with you, Seth. Okay.
Mew and Electrode are correct and incorrect. Mew has been available since the beginning. Electrode has not.
Oh.
In fact, it was actually Goldeen. Goldeen has been in every single one of them.
Oh, really?
Dang it.
Yeah. So that's 4-for-4, though, right now, with an immense amount of help. But, yeah, no, Electrode, I believe, got dropped out. Let me see. I will look it up, because I think Electrode's back. Electrode actually wasn't in the first one. It's been in everyone since the last one. It was just available in the Saffron City, Silphco Tower. But that gives you...
Well, yeah. That must have been what I was thinking about, because, like, I know it had appeared when I was playing the old one. Mm-hmm. It might have just been in that context of the stage.
All right, so the next one is your base deck question. This is question number 5. And we want to know, what fire-type Pokemon has the highest base special defense of any fire-type Pokemon?
Oof.
I think it's Ho-Oh, because that has base 154, which is
what?
Immense.
That's really big.
Yep. I'm pretty sure it's that. I'm trying to think if there's anything else, but that's my A answer.
That's one thick bird.
That is one thick bird.
That's one thick turkey, as Thatch would say.
For instance, are there any Megas? Are there any weirdly defensive fire types like a Torkoal or something like that?
Heatran.
That's 107. I know that.
Wow. How do you specifically know that?
When I was really bored in school, I would write down base stats of things that were important. So that's how I know the actual numbers themselves sometimes.
I'm cool with the Big Bird.
Big Bird. I can't think of anything outside of that one. So yeah, we'll go Ho-Oh.
Ho-Oh is correct. Ho-Oh Woo! Is the highest base special defense with a base 154. Because Seth just writes things down in his notebooks when he's in school, wasting his time.
I haven't done that for a while.
I like being on shows with Seth.
Do you, though?
So that gives you guys 5 points today. That does move around the ladder a little bit.
Because there's 4 people on it now.
So Scrawn's the first person to... There are 5 people on it now. Thank you very much. And so we're going to go ahead and we're going to sort these columns. And so in first place right now, we have Scrawn with 10 points.
Ah, spicy meatball.
Followed up by Sublime and Jushiro tied for second. It's kind of like that Tauros episode of Pokemon where you didn't realize Ash caught all those Tauros because they didn't get the episode, but they got the points for being on the episode last week. They are both at 6 points. And then tied for fourth place, we have Basket and Seth Vila with 5 points. Everybody else has yet to get on the board. They're just losers. They're fine.
Lame.
All right, so we are going to kick it on over from here, guys, after this short break to the topic.
Hey there, Puckalonians, it's Professor Snag. Thanks for listening to the Puckle Podcast. If you want more Puckly goodness, there are several ways you can do that. If you want to chat with hosts and other community members, join our Discord server. There's always someone there to talk about anything Pokemon. Make sure you follow and like us on all of our social media outlets like Facebook, Twitter, and Reddit. Come watch us on Twitch at the Puckle Podcast and get in on the action where Jushiro plays the TCG online and Thatch does viewer battles. If you are able, please consider supporting us on Patreon where you get exclusive gifts such as Puckle TCG cards and access to bonus content. Or just go to our Tee Public store and buy a t-shirt. All funds go right into the podcast and make the community better for you. And if you haven't done so already, make sure you subscribe to our new channel Puckle Plus where you can find me hosting Game Corner each month, Jushiro hosts the TCG cast, and lots of extra content including Movie Club, Battlecast, and the Puckle live shows. Thanks for listening, and as always, help control the Breeject population. Get your ditto spayed and neutered.
And welcome to the topic. Our topic today is going to be Pokemon Mewtwo Strikes Back Evolution, the trailer. I tried talking about this last week, but then it got deleted because of reasons. But I think it's a really interesting thing. For those of you who haven't seen, this came out about 2 weeks ago. We got a trailer for the 2019 movie. The 2019 movie this year is apparently going to be Mewtwo Strikes Back Evolution, a remake of Pokemon, the first movie, Mewtwo Strikes Back.
So what is he striking back about?
So that's like the Giovanni thing. Remember, he's created. He's really upset about it. And then he's just like, I'm going to blow this up.
Wasn't there like a girl who was like trying to be cloned and she got cloned accidentally from Mew and then absorbed their consciousnesses accidentally because he's so powerful as a psychic?
No, that's the plot of Portal.
Part of that is so like
<That's> true.
I would say what you said is like 25% true.
Wasn't that established in a later movie?
So it's not in a later movie. It's actually like a cut scene from the first movie. There's like a 15-minute segment from the beginning of the first movie that's just cut with like baby Mewtwo in it, meeting that's some girl and then she dying. And then Mewtwo did not absorb her. Just throwing that out there.
I thought he like sort of had such rampant psychic power that he couldn't control it.
Well, he was really upset about it. And so he like there were issues with it because he was sad about her loss. It wasn't really that he absorbed her. It was just she died because he was the first of clones to survive. There's also like a clone Charmander, Bulbasaur, Squirtle with to go along with that.
That's right.
And so that never actually made it into the final cut of the movie because it was quote unquote too dark for the kids, which is probably true. Uh-huh. But for like late 90s kids, probably not too dark. Today's kids, probably a little too dark.
This doesn't have Minecraft in it.
Why isn't Mewtwo dancing?
So if they do remake this movie, I kind of hope that they inject that into it, because they have been going along with like these more mature themes in the last two movies. There have been a couple of like really sad moments, like in the Pokemon I Choose You movie last year. We had the Luxray that just randomly died, like helping a kid, and like that was part of his memory. And I was just like, wow, why did we have to have that moment? That hurt a little bit. Like, I'm crying inside and on the outside.
And on the outside.
But then they did it again in the movie this year in The Power of Us. They did it again.
Did they really?
Yeah. For those of you, this is spoiler alert for The Power of Us. So like, skip ahead 15 seconds. But what happens in The Power of Us is that there's an old lady who doesn't like want to associate with Pokemon. And that's because she used to run this power plant in town, and it caught on fire, and her Pokemon grabbed a key to give to her so she could turn the power plant on and like save the city this time, and it died in the fire.
No.
And that's why she doesn't want to be friends with Pokemon, because she doesn't want to get hurt again.
No.
And they just keep doing this. They just keep doing this. It's so sad.
Connections we make to our friends.
So I could totally see this in the string of like the last two Pokemon movies, them including something like that. That little 15-minute scene where you have Mewtwo discovering his humanity and then showing that it just gets crushed. I don't know how I feel in a couple of things. One, it being the 23rd anniversary, and they're like, we're going to remake the 22nd Pokemon movie is going to be a remake of the first Pokemon movie.
Yeah.
I don't know how I feel about that. I think I'd feel better about it if it was like the 25th anniversary of Pokemon and they were doing it. And we've talked several times on the show about how I just hate the nostalgia trip that we're going on.
It's just a really long sequence of events.
Yeah, I'm just getting exhausted by the nostalgia.
I like that, you know, sort of break that we had where it's Black, White, Black 2, and then Gen 6. That was a nice period of time.
Yeah.
Because you didn't have that nostalgia going on. But then once it kind of started with ORAS, and then it happened with Gen 7 because...
No, it started in X and Y.
Yeah.
It started in X and Y.
How?
Here's the Kanto
Mega Evolution,
starters.
And you got a Kanto starter.
Oh, that's true. Okay. So from Gen 6 up through, like, you know, even Gen 7 with, like, the Alolan forms and yada, yada, yada. And then now with Let's Go. It's like, please, stop.
The nostalgia needs to stop, okay? It just needs to stop. I think the biggest breath of fresh air for me since 2013 in a Pokemon game, since 2013, mind you, it's 2019 now. So since 2013, the biggest breath of fresh air is when I went to Ulaula Island and I went into Molly Garden. And they're like, this is based on Johto. And I was like, whoa, we recognize there are other games in this franchise? This is fantastic.
Yeah, a lot of the dialogue options kind of reference those places at times.
Mm-hmm. Well, Molly Garden is based on Johto. That's what they said.
Like the map, right? It looks like the map, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I like in the games whenever you get, like, the, you know, specialty snack from the different regions, and, mm-hmm. like, at some point you'll get, like, here's an old gâteau, and then you remember where you got that.
Right.
It's always games, old like, gâteau, oh. By the way.
Or lava cookie.
No, they're lava cookies. There's Rage candy bars. There's a Gen 5 one. Oh, it's the ice cream.
Yeah, Castalia cone.
Gen 6 is the Shalure Sable.
Mm, oh, yeah.
That's right.
And Gen 7 are the Malasadas.
I feel like I always just remember it because I'll get handed an old gâteau randomly. And it's just like, ah, oh, this is a reference to Gen 4. Okay.
Guys, I have an actual old gâteau that I bought from the Pokemon Center.
Yeah, I remember this.
Yeah, I had two of them. I ate one, but it tasted so bad I spit it out. So I'm saving the other one for, like, if we do, like, a giveaway in the future so someone else can experience my pain.
Like, why was it... Okay, so now I need a description. Like, this is completely off topic, but I need to understand what it tastes like.
Okay, so it has, like, the consistency of, like, oh, man, a hard pudding bar with none of the sweetness.
Okay.
And it sort of looks like the color of syrup.
Yeah.
But when you bite into it, it tastes more like rice that has been sitting out for too long.
That's a very apt description. You should be a food critic.
Maybe.
That's really
that would
weird.
Be a cool job.
I'll eat that. Like, if we do another, like, stream that's way too long,
I'll send it to you.
I'll eat it on stream.
I'll send you my old Gateau. It has like a little Rotom on the packaging.
That's so cute. The packaging sounds cute now.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll do that because I do want to do another. Well, I think the next stream we'll do, I think it's going to be like a Patreon goal. Like if we hit like $500 a month on Patreon, we'll do like a 12-hour stream or like two consecutive 12-hour streams, because if we're never again doing a 24-hour stream, that was too much. I was so sleepy. Back to Pokemon Mewtwo Strikes Back Evolution. I want to know how you guys feel about them remaking the first movie, because I'm super uncomfortable with it.
I'm ready to be amazed. Like, seeing, especially if you've seen the 20 seconds of trailer that we got, the animation for it looks really cool. Like, they don't make Mewtwo look kind of weird, like in some
it's
of the
really
Smash
cool
games.
3D animation. So that's something else I didn't mention, is that there's like a change in animation style they're going for as well. It's like this 3D model CGI. I think they waited the necessary amount of time for it to go from like bad 90s CGI to good, like, hey, this doesn't look bad. This is a nice cartoonish CGI.
That actually looks like Mewtwo kind of a thing. And that I'm excited for that. I'm ready to see what they do to make it different. I'm ready to see what mythical they randomly drop in.
Oh my gosh, if they just randomly drop in a mythical. Oh man. So yeah, we just got Zeraora, that's true. So there's no new mythical to drop
in. And Marshadow in the one before it, so Melmetal is probably good.
Oh, Meltan will probably get dropped in.
That's
this is gonna
be
like
gonna
random
be my
Meltan.
Wager. Or Metal, yeah.
This might be a bit off, you know, from what you might normally discuss about the movie, but I think that the cultural sort of placement isn't there in this decade.
What do you mean?
If you know what I'm talking... What I mean is that, like, whenever the original Mewtwo came out, it was sort of like the bridge from the 90s to the 2000s. These kids of technology, our generation, had just started sort of, like, largely deviating from their parents. And so you have that sort of connection with, like, Mewtwo and stuff, like, rebelling against his masters and stuff. But now, like, technology's so embedded in our culture and stuff like that, that you have Miss Mewtwo, like, there's less of this idea of me against the world, like, what is this power? And it's more of, like, we are sort of a society as a whole. It's really hard. Okay, never mind.
I think it's more of a Let's Go Pikachu and Eevee just came out.
Yeah.
Let's cash in on some more nostalgia.
Then that makes more sense. Let's go with that.
Yeah.
It makes sense in my scrambled egg of a mind.
And I mean, there is going to be, because Mewtwo's in it, there's going to be the theme of technology versus nature. Just be comfortable with that. So, one thing I saw,
it's just a theme in a lot of things.
Yeah, especially Pokemon things. That's a common recurring theme. One thing I'm curious about is, why is it the tagline or subtitle that it is? Why is it Evolution? Is it because it's now CGI? Is it because we're about to get, I don't know, Mega 2? Is it because this will be Mewtwo X's debut in a movie, rather? So
that's true. We haven't gotten an anime form of Mewtwo X.
Yeah.
That's very true.
It was just the Y in the Genesect movie. We've had X in Pokken, but that's the only place I can think of that X exists.
Yeah, I don't know. If they put Mega Evolution in, that'd be interesting. I think they're calling it Evolution probably because of the animation style.
Mm-hmm.
There's also been word on the street that the animation style is going to hit the anime itself as well.
What?
Yeah, which would be weird. I don't know if I feel okay with that. Well, I heard, actually, so this is from last week's discussion that nobody else heard but me. It's actually, it's apparently, according to Jushiro, it's actually cheaper for people to just make these 3D models and then animate those than it is to make a traditional anime now, because instead of having to animate each frame individually,
right,
you can just, you know, computer control it and make it go do whatever you want it to do.
Let's just cut the animation altogether and make them in Roblox.
I do have to say this. You were gone before this part of the segment, but Seth and I were talking. At least they waited to turn Pokemon CGI. And when, like, CGI wasn't, like, the garbage, like, 90s Roblox CGI, it's actually solid. It's, like, a really good animation. At least the trailer was. And I'd be okay if they give something of that quality out to us in terms of Pokemon. Now, what I really, really hope that Pokemon does in the future, because I could see the Pokemon anime possibly coming to an end in its current form, and it's probably not going to. This is like a really just like wild, this is more of a wish list than I think it is like a realistic scenario, because Ash will probably go to whatever Gen 8 region exists, and we're not going to get anything new. But the creators of the anime themselves have said that when Ash wins a league, the anime will be over. right? And so Ash's in Alola, and the whole point of Alola is that the trainer character becomes the first champion of Alola. Now, granted, they just introduced Hao to the anime, so they'll probably make it Hao as the first champion of Alola or whatever. He'll be the person that just beats Ash like last minute. Whatever, it's fine. Ash doesn't even have 6 Pokemon. But if they let Ash win because he's the quote unquote player character, he'll win a tournament. He'll be the champion, and we'll see no more Ash. What I really would hope for,
just let it be over.
Yeah, I would love for a new fresh take on a new character in the anime. We can still have Pikachu. It's fine. Pikachu's great. I think that would be a big move for Pokemon, because then you get rid of the Ash and Pikachu dynamic, but we'll see how it goes. I don't know.
Nope. Not going to happen.
Give the Pikachu a baseball.
Oh, I don't think it's going to happen. I think we're just going to get
Marty McFly sort of, you know, life vest and call him Pikachad.
One thing about the Mewtwo movie that I thought was interesting, just from a little bit more that I was looking into, if I'm correct, and you might know a little bit more about this than me, Scron, in the very beginning of the trailer, Mewtwo is saying, you know, who am I, what am I, the kind of things. But from that, it sounds like they might have gotten the original Japanese voice actor for Mewtwo to reprise the part.
I have no idea.
I hope we get Dan Green.
Yeah, right?
Like, in the dub. I hope it's Dan Green. Yeah. If it's not Dan Green, I'm going to feel really betrayed. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah. So with that, plus just reprising the exact same lines, I don't know how much the plot's going to deviate from the original.
I don't think it's going to deviate. I think we might get something like, oh, look, a Meltan.
Yeah.
And, like, in the background, not even, like, full-on Meltan. This is going to be Meltan in the background. And we'll get some cool Mew nonsense. I think they're really just going to be pushing the Let's Go crowd. I think that's really what they're trying to do. Like, hey, at the same time, we're going to update the animation. It's not going to be the same thing. It's different enough that we can push the same movie out and people can share not only the video game that they grew up as kids, but also the movie that they grew up with as kids.
Yeah.
And I think that's probably more what they're going for. And, I mean, I'm going to go pay them money to see this again. And I'll feel dirty afterwards.
What if
I hope they remake Pikachu's Vacation to go with it, though.
That'd be great. Cool.
Yeah. Pikachu's Vacation would be great. I would love to see that. And just give me CGI Pikachu's Vacation. There we go. The one thing I am worried about in that animation style, though, is I want to see humans. I want to see what humans look like in that animation style.
Yeah.
I don't know how I'll react to a 3D animated version of Ash Ketchum. I don't know how I'm going to feel about it.
Yeah.
That's why we go with Roblox. You know what to expect. The expressionless smile of Ash Ketchum.
The other thing that I think is really interesting that we haven't discussed is that Brock and Misty are also kind of like big characters in the Pokemon movie, the first one. They've been gone from the anime for a while. Well, they did start to reintroduce them in the Alola series.
Brock has a girlfriend.
They did come back. Yeah, Brock is now dating Olivia. It's great. They're exactly the same character,
what?
So it makes sense.
What?
Yeah, isn't that perfect?
Oh, it's a very sturdy relationship.
I'm so happy for her. I'm so happy for Olivia. Oh my god.
I'm happy for Olivia, not for Brock.
God. I don't care about Brock. He's a horn dog. No, but like in the game, it's like with Olivia and like all the stuffles, like she's just searching for a man.
She is. She is. It's heavily implied in the game. It's heavily implied.
That's the greatest thing ever.
Yeah.
I hope they find love.
So Brock and Misty have been reintroduced to the anime, probably for this reason, though, because the movie is coming out, and that way people are still familiar with the characters when they're in the movie.
More palatable. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's just not like, because I mean that was 20 years ago, and then you're just gonna switch it over, and these kids are gonna be like, "What do you mean? Who's this Brock guy? Who's this Misty girl?" Right?
I want a live action Pokemon movie where Brock still doesn't open his eyes.
So we're getting a live action Pokemon movie in May. It's called Detective Pikachu. I think that's the movie I'm more excited for.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, 150%.
Also, at some point, there must have just been, like, a massive media push to, like, non-Pokemon fans, because all at once about the Detective Pikachu movie, my mom started texting me about it,
right?
And then, like, some friends of mine who don't play Pokemon were texting me about it, like, all of a sudden, like, just 2 weeks ago, they just started asking me about it.
I think one of the big things there is that it's showing up in movie theater
videos. Oh, you know what?
That's what it is.
That's probably it.
Because my mom came back from a movie that she saw, and she's like, did you see about this live-action Pokemon thing? And I'm like, uh-huh.
Yep.
Yep.
I was there.
Yep. But yeah, she was
I always get amazed when people show me Pokemon stuff, like, in terms of just, like, media content. Like, not like, Puckle people, but, like, in terms of just, like, my lay Pokemon friends, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
My friends who aren't just, like, super Pokemon based, but, you know, they like Pokemon well enough. And they'll just be like, did you see this? I'm like, yeah, like, 3 months ago. I'm just like, are you not aware that, like, I run a you're aware that I run a Pokemon podcast and, like, I keep up with the news at, like, a very high level. And if something's out, I know about it within, like, 2 days. Like, yeah, obviously I know about this. Occasionally there'll be some gems in there, though. They'll find me some cool little product that I'll have to buy or something. Well, now I have PokemonCenter.com, so...
Like Pillsbury cookies with Pikachus and Pokeballs in them that are available at a Walmart near you right now?
Kind of. They're not super available right now. They're supposed to launch in May and be like a May through...
August.
A May through August thing to coincide with the Pokemon... the Detective Pikachu movie.
Uh-huh.
So, just throwing that out there.
Yes.
But they are out there. You can get the Pillsbury cookies
I
if you want
to
be unhealthy and get diabetes.
Episode. Yes.
Yeah.
If you think really hard about it, every cookie is shaped like either a Voltorb or a Jigglypuff from a
technically puff. Not wrong.
That's not true, because if you ever made Christmas cookies, these do not come out like circles.
Then they're shaped like Snovers or something.
Dude, I'm doing that next year. I'm doing that next year. God, I'm writing this down. I'm doing this.
Make Snover Christmas
make
cookies.
Make Pokemon Christmas cookies. I'm doing this next year. It's going to be great. I'm not going to tell anybody about it. I'm just going to do it for myself. But I'm
nice.
Going to do it.
You just want to decapitate Pokemon.
Well, I've always been into... This is a completely off thing because I'm with the movie now.
I've always
but
been into decapitating
Pokemon. Not decapitating Pokemon per se, but I have been into... Like, I really want to just go make, like, really cool-looking cookies just once in my life. Like, do the proper icing and stuff. And then I'll probably do it once and then be done with it.
Okay.
You know, and this is the way to do it. Go do some Pokemon stuff. It'll be really cool. Do it with my Perler beads. It'll be fun.
There you go.
So, yeah. So, in closing, though, with this Pokemon movie, I am excited but also hesitant because I don't know if I want to see the same movie again. I'm also scared of what Ash Ketchum looks like in this animation style. I don't know how it's gonna go. Maybe it'll be really good because it could just be like one of those like 3D animation styles. More like if it's like a cleaned up. If you guys have seen this, this is an anime called Ruby.
Yes. Yeah,
yeah.
I know what you're talking about.
If it's like
about.
A more cleaned up version of that animation style, I'd be okay with it.
Mm-hmm. I might also point out: do we know for a fact that the entire movie is this style, or is it just the trailer?
It could just be the trailer. It
yeah.
could just be the trailer. You are right. I would not be hesitant though if they just redid it though in this animation style
mm-hmm.
because they need to do something different to make it quote unquote Mewtwo Strikes Back Evolutions.
Yep.
I hope that means we get Mewtwo Returns Evolutions.
It's gonna be Megas.
Mewtwo Returns was so good.
It's gonna be Megas. Now that Misty and Brock are confirmed to be able to Mega, it's gonna be Megas.
Oh my gosh, that would be so cool. That would be so cool.
And he's striking
we'll
back because he's a
day.
Fighting type. What?
All right, we'll end it there before things get too crazy. But so we're going to end the topic here, and we're going to kick it on over, guys, to the Pokemon of the episode after this short break. Hey, everyone. You might have heard that Puckle will be represented in the United Pokemon Podcasters League, or UPPLE, by the Lavendertown Gengar and the Chan Medicham. If you want to help out Puckle, you can go to our Tee Public store by using the link in the show notes, as always. There you can find a Lavendertown Gengar and Chan Medicham swag, including t-shirts, hoodies, stickers, and way more cool stuff such as mugs. Anything you could slap this logo on, you can grab it. So if you want to help out the show, help out the team, show your loyalty, show your support, that's a great way to go for it. Also, you can find a variety of other Pokemon designs there as well, including this really awesome Cinnabar Island Arcanine t-shirt that I thought was really awesome. So you guys can check that out. So be sure to head over to the Tee Public and support the show if you want to. I will catch you guys on the flip-flop. episode. And welcome to the Pokemon of the episode. The Pokemon of the episode this week is National Dex number 579, Reuniclus, the multiplying Pokemon. Did I say that right? Reuniclus.
Reuniclus, maybe?
Reuniclus, yeah, there we go.
Its Alpha Sapphire Pokedex entry states, when Reuniclus shake hands, a network forms between their brains, increasing their psychic power.
That's really cool. You know, I'd really like that psychic ability just to have, you know, like if I shake someone's hands, we can both get psychic powers for
right?
a little
bit. Or like mind melding.
What? Yeah.
Or like, yeah, I'll go shake Thatch's hand and then like, oh, now I understand.
I picked that Pokedex entry specifically.
Now I understand.
Because you and I, Scrawn, are going to shake hands in this UUTC because we're the ones who are bringing our jelly boy.
Let's bring the jelly.
So quick physics question before we go into anything like real. If a Reuniclus touches another Reuniclus, do they just absorb each other?
I don't think so.
No, it's like,
I think it's more like
it's like neurons.
I think the idea is like based on a nervous system.
It's where they don't actually touch.
Yeah.
But like they touch, but they don't touch, but they do. But at the same time, they don't.
Reuniclus is in the RUBL, which means it's in the ban list, so it's essentially UU. But it is a pretty bulky boy with a base HP of 110. Not so great base attack of 65, a base defense of 75, meh, base 125 special attack, an all right base special defense of 85, and a paltry speed of 30.
It's not very fast, I'll give you that.
No, it's not fast. It's not meant to be fast.
It's powerful, though.
And he gets three, like, decent abilities. Like, they're not terrible abilities. Mm-hmm. Like, Magic Guard, Overcoat, and Regenerator.
They're some of the best abilities in the game.
All three of those are, like, okay options. Like, Regenerator and Magic Coat, I could see more use for, but in certain settings, I could definitely see Overcoat being useful as well.
Overcoat is more like, you know, against powder protection and stuff.
And weather, mm-hmm. things like that. But at the same time, Magic Art does the same thing.
And his move pool isn't completely terrible.
It's the only Pokemon that learns Thunder, but not Thunderbolt, if I'm correct.
That is an interesting factoid. And something that if that is true, we should make that a trivia question for next week.
Co-hosts, don't listen to this episode.
They probably already don't, so it's okay.
Oh, that's rough. I've been listening to old Puckle episodes.
You have been. That is true.
Another fun fact is Duosion does not... Well, Duosion has the exact same special attack stat as Reuniclus.
It does. And so you just run the Eviolite, and he's probably a little bit bulkier.
What?
Yeah. Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
What?
True story. All right, moving on though.
what makes Reuniclus better?
It's bulk.
It's bulk, and so you don't get the HP stat that Duosion gets, and
you get like the extra item slot too.
And you get the item slot. Yeah.
And Reuniclus is already begging to be hit by knockoff, so Duosion at some point will be, and it'll lose the Eviolite, which is the reason to run it. You'd rather just run either a Z Crystal, a Life Orb with Magic Guard, leftovers, Rocky,
or some
Helmet,
lefties.
Any of those.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it looks like the moves like aren't that crazy to run on it. I mean, he gets Calm Mind, which you should probably run.
Mm-hmm.
Psy Shock, and then you've got like Utility and Focus Blast and Shadow Ball as well as Recover. And you just run like a bulky boy, just slap on 248 HP stats, EVs, mm-hmm. throw in some defense, and just have some fun.
Yeah, there's like four sets that this thing has that are good that you can run in either OU or UU. The one that Thatch mentioned, mm-hmm. which is just like standard old defensive Calm Mind, is good. The thing that almost got it banned in Gen 5 or something like that was that one, as well as OTR, Offensive Trick Room.
Yes.
That's really good.
Because... it has Regenerator, so you can really just keep setting up Trick Room and switching.
That's another thing. It could do Regenerator with it or Magic Guard Life Orb. Mm-hmm. One cool thing, if you want to be spicy, that you could do is like Regenerator and Future Sight. So you just drop him in, fire off a Future Sight, and then switch him out.
Oh, man. Exciting.
And then
that is
my ultimate favorite set is the OU one.
What's that? Go ahead. Explain.
Have you ever wanted to never die?
Yes.
If that sounds like you, then Double Dance Reuniclus is the set for you.
Double Dance.
Double
Please
Dance.
Explain.
Calm Mind, as Thatch said. in addition to acid armor to double the defense stat.
Oh, God.
And then you run your psychic type attacking move of choice, either psychic for a little bit of boosted power and the chance to lower special defense, or psi shock if you want to break through things like Chansey slightly easier or opposing calm minesweepers. But Chansey's not going to do anything to you anyway. You have magic guard. What's it going to do? You just stall it out with recover and just keep setting up for days. And
God.
It was actually one of the counters to Zygarde, because it can set up acid armors faster than Zygarde can, than Dragon Dance or Coil. And then you just start smacking it with Psychic until it goes down.
Does Reuniclus get stored power?
It does, but it's slightly unreliable. I mean, you'd rather just be wanting to fire off one after one acid armor.
Yeah, Psychic, yep.
But yeah, that is,
I agree with that.
It's just simple Calm Mind, acid armor, Psychic type attacking move, and recover. Your only task is get rid of Dark types.
Yep.
And even then, you can theoretically stall out Dark types if you've set up enough defensive boosts.
That's true.
I've stalled out Ash Greninja more times than I can count because the fool allowed me to set up to plus six.
Oh, God.
And I had more recovers than he had Dark pulses at that point.
That's hilarious.
Listen up, folks. The devil has revealed his strategy. My God. Even I'm trembling with fear right now.
So you just pair it with something that can take out darks, be that toxic spikes, other hazards, a fighting type, fairy, whatever.
Even, like, the best hazer in the metagame is Toxapex. And
you don't say.
Toxapex gets shredded.
You don't say.
Yep.
Oh, that's mean.
Oh, he's my favorite sweeper in OU. He's so good.
He's fun.
If they make one mistake, you just get in, set up your one thing against what you think they're going to switch in, and suddenly their Tyranitar can't crunch you to death anymore, and you just wait.
So what's a good teammate for Reuniclus?
The number one teammate for it is Toxapex, as Scrawn pointed out, because its synergy is fantastic because of spikes, and, you know, other things that get dark types out of the way, be that... One big ugly thing that KOs it a lot is Hoopa Unbound. So something to take out Hoopa, which could be like a Tyranitar, pursued it after it fires off a hyperspace.
Or something
fury.
With U-turn. Who knows?
Or something with U-turn. Something like that.
Anything with U-turn.
If you want to know other good teammates, just hop on my UUTC roster.
Oh, man.
Literally, the entire roster is centered around, how can I get Jelly Boy to take out your entire team? Let's ponder.
So now I need to start playing around with Jelly Boy.
Jelly Boy, I like that name.
You convinced me to play with Jelly Boy.
You use Lando T as setup bait. What's better?
I think I had a cool name on mine. Let me check real quick. I had it written down. Oh, yeah, it's... Sell you later.
Sell you later.
Oh, that's pretty good.
That's good.
That's pretty good. Yeah. That's pretty punny.
I've named mine after
in the TCG
experiments.
In the TCG, Reuniclus has no cards in rotation.
Yeah, it's got the one good damage mover one good? In expanded, but that's it.
Yeah, that's like it. It's got. I think it's. Is it the one from Plasma Blast? Maybe no.
It has a couple prints. I think black white is one. Then there's a shiny one that has the same stuff.
Dragon Exalted in white, black, white. Yep, with damage swap. As often as you like before you attack, you may move one damage counter from one of your Pokemon to another of your Pokemon.
If you want to take 12 minutes sequencing a TCG turn, you can run that with unknown damage and just keep going.
That's true.
Hypothetically.
That's true.
Yeah.
All right, yeah. So that is Reuniclus. The only Pokemon that learns Thunder but not Thunderbolt.
Yep.
That's what I remember him as. All right, so we are going to kick it on over, guys, to the mailbag.
It's mail time! It's time for the mailbag! Send in your emails!
And welcome to the mailbag. The mailbag, as always, is brought to you by Little Scissors Pizza. Pizza served fast.
I don't know what to do.
I'm joking.
Here.
I'm joking. It's brought to you by the energy drink Green Tauros, the energy drink that gives you
hooves.
Oh, got that sweet release.
That deal fell through with Little Scissors Pizza. Nobody cares.
Little Scissors Pizza.
They were neither
that.
Hot or
I like
ready.
Bullet punch. The only thing Scizor is good for.
So, welcome to the mailbag. The mailbag is the part of the show where we read listener emails that you guys send in to pucklepodcast@gmail.com, typically answering prompts or maybe just like hanging out and talking with us. So send those in, pucklepodcast@gmail.com. Last email, I believe we wanted to know, man, I forget. Oh, we wanted to ask you what your favorite development in the Pokemon franchise over time was. And so I am looking forward to digging into these emails. I've already read some of them before, but I'll do it again for your pleasure. So our first email is going to be from Crystal. Did anybody grab this one, or is this on me?
You got it.
I'll do it because it's very short. I like that the newer games have delivered experience according to level versus splitting it in half like in Yellow version. Ride Pokemon instead of HMs have been nice too, since Pokemon have more moves instead of you liking to have it. Crystal.
My gosh, that's so right though.
Nice email. I like the
both these things are really true.
Yeah.
Replies. I like the suggested replies to the email where it's thank you for the tip.
Awesome. Thanks.
And that's pretty cool.
But the splitting of experience is actually a big deal. I think the way that they distribute experience now is done very well compared to the way it was done in the past.
Mm-hmm.
It's done very well. It is not frustrating at all anymore. Good on you, Pokemon. I also think the HMs, that's something we hung on in the last episode very prominently. Like the removal of HM slaves and just HMs in general for ride Pokemon was such a huge change. And it's welcome. And the only HM that I'll ever remember and ever use ever again in my life is going surf. Probably surf, because surf's actually a good move outside everything else. And like the occasional fly on Lando T for that supersonic sky strike.
Isn't surf like a TM now though?
It's a TM technically.
Yeah, surf's
but
a TM. Yeah, all of the HMs got converted to TMs. Yeah.
Where they go through Alola and it's like, we use these back at home to fly around. You guys just hop on your Charizard over here.
Yeah, that one Charizard must be really tired.
Or
I'm just
buff.
Saying.
That one Charizard. You're assuming it's
or
just
so
one.
Strong.
It's Kiawe's Charizard. Like maybe he has like two or something, but
it's Kiawe's Charizard in the anime. It's not Kiawe's Charizard in the game.
I mean, he's the one who gives you the ability. He's like,
yeah, he just unlocks it. He's like, hey, we have this farm of Charizards that are just bred for flying.
Nope, it's just the one.
I don't think he says
it's just
that.
The one.
That'd be super sardonic.
He doesn't say that, but like it's never said that it's just the one.
We breed these Pokemon to ferry us from island to island.
Yes.
Mm.
We used to breed horses to ride around on.
Yeah, but that's not Pokemon.
Yes, it is. It's the equivalent.
Stop.
Come on,
Thatch.
We didn't fight with our horses.
You're shattering my world.
We didn't fight with our horses? Where were you?
I am not mentally prepared for this.
All right, moving on. Our next email is from Mikey over at Pokemon Crossroads, and I think that's all for you, Seth.
That's all me. Hello, Thatch and friends.
Yeah,
never mind.
All right,
go on. Hello, Thatch and friends. I hope you're enjoying the new year. Maybe you are enjoying some Pokemon Go, doing some Master Trainer battles in Let's Go, doing Battle Spot. Why am I mentioning these things? I guess it's because I want to talk about the development of post-game in Pokemon games. Post-game in Pokemon game used to be just go and catch this powerful Pokemon or battle this guy. I've never liked that. And no, I don't count Kanto and Gold Silver as post-game. It's just more of the same, which I felt is more like part of the game. I like exploring new areas, or doing something different from the main post-game. Going to the Battle Frontier, catching Mewtwo, never interest me. Doing Looker missions, exploring a new part of Sinnoh, that sounds great to me. Lastly, I got a question for you guys. What abilities from Pokédex entries would you like to have as superpowers? Mikey, P.S. Good luck to you guys in Upple.
That's actually really timely, because you wanted the Ridiculous power.
Right? Right?
I want that Mikado power. I want to just vaporize everything.
I want to literally melt until I get to the planet's core.
You could do Alakazam, where it's 5,000 IQ.
Yeah.
I feel like that's just too much awareness, though. I would want some ignorance.
Too much awareness. Too woke.
Too woke.
I don't.
I want Larvitar's power to be able to eat mountains.
I sometimes forget my keys places, so I'd really like Whimsicott's power to just slip through doors.
Fun story about that. I went to the gym last night, a particular location, and I got home because my wife drove me, and I got a phone call like 2 hours later, and it was just a number at like 9:30, and it said, "Are you missing some keys?"
Oh no!
And I was like, what? And I was just like, I was just like, oh yeah, I gotta bring my keys to the gym so I can like get in. Cause I got the little tag on my keys to get in, and I probably left them in the cup holder of the machine I was working out on. And so I'm like, I'll be there in a few minutes. So fun fact, Thatch forgot his keys at the gym yesterday.
That's not very fun.
That's a fun story, Scrawn.
No. It's delightful. I want to be able to eat rocks like a Sableye.
God. Okay. This next email is from Alolan Dergs.
Hello, Thatch, and whoever he has. Alolan Dergs here, but you can just call me Dergs for short. Long-time listener, first time writing in. I listened to the podcast religiously when I discovered it about a year and a half ago, but in the past few months I've got a different job and took a bit of a break from listening. Now that I'm finally caught up all on my Puckle, and I must say it was the most depressing thing hearing that PuckleCon was at the Dayton Convention Center, which is only about 20 minutes up the street from me. Plus, I'm sure you guys were at Nationals and I didn't get to meet anyone then. We were not. Yeah. But yeah, PuckleCon was pretty cool. I also wanted to attend PuckleCon in 2017, but never was able to make the trip to Columbus. Needless to say, 2019 will be the year I finally attend. I'll make sure of it. Enough about myself, though. On to the mailbag question. What has been my favorite development in the Pokemon franchise? I have always enjoyed when Pokemon goes out on a limb and tries something new. Games like XD and Colosseum just astounded me as a child, being able to take my static 2D Pokemon from my Ruby and Sapphire cartridges and transfer them onto the big tube TV and see them in a fully mobile 3D sprite was one of the coolest things for me. Also, being able to get Ho-Oh Lugia and Jirachi, I had the bonus disc, was a nice touch, and I like how they did similar things with other titles after this. Anywho, I'll wrap this up before I ramble on forever. You guys rock. My Mondays wouldn't be the same without Puckley friends making me laugh to myself so I can get rude looks from my coworkers, except this Monday because there was no show. LOL. Keep it up. Much love. P.S. I can be anybody at Game Corner, and I don't have the Green Tauros badge.
Nobody has the Green Tauros badge.
Technically, yeah, no.
Yeah, we're getting this will be the first episode we assign it. And PPS, Pokken Tournament DX, it is a good game.
It's an okay game.
It's a moderately fun experience.
I, for one, love smashing buttons aimlessly.
I welcome our overlord.
Welcome our smash button overlords.
All right, so we've got one more email here today from 10 Little Men with his 10 Little Flip-Flops, or 28 Little Flip-Flops, I assume. Here we go from 10 Little Men, classic email writer, 10 Little Men. Well, if it isn't the terrific Thatch, the zealous Scrawn, and the surely sane Seth Vilo, 10 Little Men has returned to answer this week's mailbag question. What's that? Last week's show was canceled due to technical difficulties, and thus there is no new mailbag question this week? Well then, due to an unfortunate lack of a mailbag question, I have been granted the opportunity to unleash the rant I've been holding back for the greater part of a year now. Warning, disturbingly controversial opinions incoming. If you are faint of heart, I suggest turning back now. In bold now, this is his title.
Oh no.
Pokemon Black and White has a bad story, and Pokemon Sun and Moon has an infinitely better storyline. Whoa!
Let's hear him out.
Actually, I disagree with this. I'm ready to hear this. All right.
I am shaking.
I'm going to give it a chance.
First, it must be noted that the premise of the two stories are two different things. A premise is just the idea for a plot. A story is the fusion of the plot and the characters. Okay. If we're going by that definition, I agree. This is done. Black and White have an incredible premise, but the story is ruined by terrible characters. Now you must be thinking, 10 Little Men has gone insane. Black and White have so many great and memorable characters, but let me ask you a question. How many Black and White characters have believable motives? Okay, it's Pokemon. I may need to use algebra to solve this question, but if my math is right, it should look something like this. Good characters with strong motives equal N, where N equals 1. Seriously, though. Do you remember the Seven Sages? I do remember the Seven Sages. Why is Alders such a lame champion? That's very true. Why is Sharon such an arrogant jerk? But most importantly, why is Getsis so comically evil? Not only is Getsis evil for no reason similar to Giovanni, unlike Giovanni who just robs people to get rich, Getsis' plan is to makes absolutely no sense. His plan is to fulfill an ancient prophecy that he has no evidence exist by assuming that N is some sort of chosen one. Then, hoping that if N is the chosen one, he will be able to convince everyone to force their Pokemon to leave their sides, even if the Pokemon themselves are reluctant to leave. Truly a master plan. Also, the plot is a mess. How am I supposed to take the incredible premise of Pokemon Right seriously when you watch two plasma grunts literally kicking and kicking the stuffing out of a defenseless Muna after the first hour of gameplay? No, so they did that because I think there was a thing that there was an interview, I think, where they stated that you couldn't really tell that Team Plasma was the bad guy.
Yeah.
After your initial encounter with them. And so they're just like, yeah, make them kick the Muna.
We gotta make sure
because
that...
then they'll absolutely be the bad guy.
That makes sense.
I could really argue about like all of these points, but I don't know if that's really a time and place.
Probably not. You know what? We should try to see if we can get him on for the next live show for the patrons because he is a patron.
Have him explain
and so
himself.
Can get on, and then we can have that debate with you, Skron, in the Patreon.
So the zealous Skron can debate on his points of view.
Yes. But he continues, in Pokemon Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon, every single character has at least a semi-realistic motivation for every action that they take throughout the story. Guzma lost faith in adults and society as a whole after growing up in a broken family, and clings to Lusamine because she is the only adult who ever respected him. Lusamine isn't a randomly evil lunatic either. She is so obsessed with Ultra Space because she lost her husband in a wormhole. Because of this, Gladion and Lily are traumatized by both the loss of their father and the hostile environment they grew up in due to their overprotective mother, scared of losing more family. I personally believe that the oft-mocked Hao is one of the most excellently written characters in the entirety of the Pokemon video game series.
Keep going.
Okay. Hao serves as a foil to Guzma as a child crushed by societal pressures and as a logical rival to the protagonist. Blue has no reason to remain so smug after you crush him for the upteenth time, yet Hao, riddled with insecurities as a trainer due to growing up in his father's shadow, meets you, the invincible force known as the protagonist. Yet Hao perseveres and learns that even if you cannot necessarily be the very best there ever was, it is still worth it to try, and that is a fantastic message that is not delivered enough in media. And then he just ends it, 20 plot-driven flip-flops, 10 little men. I'm okay with that either.
I agree with him, because that like, the story, the characters themselves are much more established, and there's a lot more backstory to them, that they can make a whole anime out of it. Hypothetically,
I would agree that the plot that if he's talking about character development, I would definitely say that Sun and Moon wins. Mm-hmm. I do have to say that the premise of Black and White is much better. I do think that it was not as well executed as something like that, but also it's much more difficult to execute that premise because I believe that is a slightly higher stakes than what was going on in Sun and Moon. Because you're saying something like, "Hey, I want to force Pokemon to leave." Yes, it's a more ridiculous premise that gets us planned, but you kind of have to have more ridiculous actions take place and more comically evil people to make such a premise work.
That wasn't the point. Like, Getz has obviously never believed in a prophecy. He's just power hungry, and he was using N as sort of
a vessel so that he could...
And yeah, that's why, like, in Black 2, White 2, Team Plasma splits into good Team Plasma and bad Team Plasma.
That is very true.
Because they basically shatter the illusion that they were trying to help people and say, I'm just going to use this super smart scientist guy to freeze over the continent and then have full control over you.
Perfect.
I understand. I think there's some missing points. Because, yeah, he didn't even actually bring in anything from Black 2, White 2 to actually explain that. I think Black 2, White 2... I mean, all of these games and, like, the manga counterparts definitely have the potential to make their own anime series out of, and I really wish we got it instead of Ash Ketchum trying to catch all of the Pokemon, but he catches four, and then we get, you know, nothing exciting happens. You know what I mean?
I'm gonna be the very best.
Mm-hmm. And I'd much rather have something where we get like the manga storyline. The manga storyline is so good. Like Pokemon Adventures, the anime, I would watch that so much. I would get like Sling or whatever I need to watch that live. I would pay $25 a month for that anime. Like, no joke. All right. I think that's it for the mailbag.
We need to award the first Green Tauros badge of 2019, guys.
So nobody has the Green Tauros badge because we reset it every year now so that you have to re-earn it. So we do have to get the Green Tauros badge of 2019. Honestly, I personally have to go with 10 Little Men.
I would agree with you.
This is true.
I think he wrote a very convincing argument. Mm-hmm. Granted, there are some flaws, and it's opening up a Puckle Live topic entirely.
Even though it's completely wrong, I'll vote for him because I think that, you know, I like being, you know, challenged to think a little bit.
Okay.
He just wants to square up for a live show.
Okay,
that's all he wants.
Happening.
Yeah. Oh, right. So 10 little men, you get the green tourist badge. Just we'll give it to you. It's fine. But send in your emails next week to PucklePodcast@gmail.com, letting us know what you think of the Pokemon, first movie, Mewtwo Strikes Back, being remade in theaters. I really want to know what everybody's thoughts are on this one. I think it'll be really interesting because I think it could be somewhat controversial. Maybe somebody else is tired of the nostalgia hype, or maybe people are really buying into it. I don't know. I really want to know what you guys think. So send that into PucklePodcast@gmail.com. And if you want to keep up with us throughout the week, check out our Discord, follow us on Twitter, follow us on Facebook. These are great places to go. All those links are in the show notes and on our website, PucklePodcast.com. Of course, if you want to do more with that, we're going to be on twitch.tv/thepucklepodcast, where you can watch myself, Jushiro, and Orange Avenger play a variety of Pokemon video games there. So it's a lot of fun. We like hanging out with you guys. And I think you can get points from battling me on stream for the Puckle League as well.
Yeah,
once a month.
You put that's in there.
So if you want to come and get some extra Puckle points for the league, you get them. Do I get them for battling myself? Can I like set up a second 3DS and get the points myself?
I don't think that's a thing.
I'm going to do it. I want my 5 points, okay? I want my 5 points. And so it's a lot of fun there. You guys can come over there, hang out with us. Of course, you can always catch us on our other podcasts over at Puckle Plus. And now the newly minted Puckle PTU is finally had a fit feed. Granted, it is explicit, so I would not suggest it for younger fans.
Yeah.
But if you want to be involved in that, you can go check that out over at the Puckle PTU feed on pretty much everywhere you would go that I cared to submit it to. So if it's not somewhere that you want it and you really want it, let me know. We'll throw that feed on whatever podcatcher you want it on. And so that's pretty much it. You can go check that out. Puckle Plus, I believe Game Corner should be out by now. And then we're going to have hopefully a Puckle Live or a Battlecast or something next week for you guys. I really want Puckle Live to come back. I'm pretty excited for it. So, and then I think that's it. Well, if you want to support the show, you can go to Twitch, subscribe to us there with your free Twitch Prime. But if you want to support the show more directly, you can go to tpublic.com. We should have a coupon code that was in the commercial. I haven't got sent it yet, but hopefully we have a commercial with a coupon code for you guys, where you'll get some money off on some t-shirts. If not, go check it out. That's a great place to get your Lavender Town Gengar shirt to help support us in the Upple League. So be sure to check that out. And of course, if you want to support the show more directly, you can always go to patreon.com/PucklePodcast and support the show more directly. Be on Puckle Live shows. You get the opportunity to do a lot of stuff, and maybe you'll start getting some unedited episodes. We'll see. We'll see how that goes. But until next time, guys, I am Trainer Thatch.
I am Seth Vila.
And here in the Lavender Town Radio Tower, it's closing time. We here at Puckle would like to, of course, thank all of our patrons for making everything possible. So I would like to go ahead and thank Viger, Duly Noted, Ten Little Men, Andrea, The Fluffiest Whimsicott, Dr. Shamu, Snag, Dexio, Christian, Jushiro, Rotted Mushroom, Nick, Bosifus, Alvaren, Seth Vilo, Marcus, Claude9, Tank, R Sigma, Doc McStuffles, Nathan, The Golden Klefki, The British Gent, Trevor Booth, TJ, Doc Knox, Echo, Shambles, Birdkeeper Cobra, Louise, Wade, Kevin, Justin, Daniel Travey, Jonathan, Greg, Bodtack, Alec, Mikey, Ozzy, Jedi DJ, Sparky, Nick, Dylan, Shira, Ironcaster, Orange Avenger, Michael, Thomas, Zero, Curtis, Anime Gravy, Hazelnut, Joseph Walther, Alex, and The Real EV for supporting the show. We really appreciate it, guys. And I'm thinking, not this weekend, unfortunately, but probably on the 25th, we can do an awesome live show. So I will send that out on Patreon. And if you guys want to jump on that show on the 25th, let's say 7 p.m., I will put it out there. Two patrons can do it. Of course, only the patrons at the $3 tier and above can jump on those slots. So I feel happy, and I look forward to seeing you guys there. So catch you guys on the flip-flop.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.